Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
This next series that I'm starting with the youth group is called The Chase. And what we're going to be talking about is how we often, in our lives, especially at this stage in their lives, in the second half of the year, it's a new year. We have tons of New Year's resolutions. We have tons of things that we want to get after and say, this is going to be the year. And we get so focused on the things we need to do, right? Like, we just had Christmas. We just had New Year's. We just had Thanksgiving. We had all of these holidays that, where we were go, 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 go all of the time. And now, boom, New Year's is done, and now we're like, all right, all of the holiday stuff is done. Now I can get all my personal achievements done, and we start focusing so much on that. One of the big things that I never had as a New Year's resolution, but I know people that have, is running. How many of you guys love to run? No, not really. I don't. But there's always two types of people, right? There's the people that love to run, like they'll do it out of their own free will, take actual time out of their day to go run endless miles. And then there's the people who, just thinking about running, just go out of breath, and that's me. Like, I just absolutely get out of breath when I run. And so I also have asthma, so like my like breathing routine is like as if I'm a two-year-old, so like you'll hear like me basically crying because I don't want to run. But anyway, that's besides the point. For when I was in ELN, my Emerging Leaders Network, which is my internship in Madison, Wisconsin, we had a requirement where every other day you had to run 2 miles. And what it was disciplining yourself physically so that you can keep yourself healthy, because the goal in this internship was if you were going to be in ministry or if you're going to have a life in ministry in some way. And the reason why they ask you to do a physical workout is because a life in ministry isn't really physically demanding. So you have to run. So to keep yourself accountable physically, you need to keep yourself in check by running or doing some sort of exercise. And so we had to run 2 miles every other day, and I would have to get up at 6:15 in the morning to go to Planet Fitness to go run 2 miles. I hate running. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do. And so during that time, I was a grumpy cat, I'm not gonna lie. But we had to, towards the like fall of my second year, we were signed up to run a 5K, which is about 3.25 miles, I think, which is 3.25 more than what I want to run in the first place. But we had to do it. And so I, in my head, kind of set myself a goal. I was like, I want to do the best that I can do in this. So when I was running, I was actually trying to get better and better times. And so as I was trying to work for this, and I really worked hard for it, I forgot one small detail. The 5K was on a Saturday, and on Saturdays, I worked at Chick-fil-A, and I forgot to ask off of work. So what happened was I started the day off at work at 10 a.m. The race was at noon, so I left work. Can we go ahead and go to the first photo, Sarah? This is my intern group. That's Pastor Susie on the right. She was one of our intern directors, and then that's the rest of my intern group. And we were heading to our 5K run, and we get there, and I got a call from my boss saying, right after you're done, just head straight back here, you'll be okay. And I was like, okay. So literally, I ran a 5K, and then didn't rest, didn't get anything, and I just went straight back to work. Can we go ahead and go to the next photo? And you can see me right on the far left. I am just dead tired. I have bags under my eyes. My hair's a mess because I didn't shower or anything, so all the wind was just, it was bad. But the rest of the intern group, my other friend Justin, he also went back to work because he wanted to. I don't know why. I was forced to. He wanted to. That was crazy. But the rest of the group came to eat and to like support us and found out that after the 5K, they gave out awards for best times, and apparently I got the best time for 18 to 20-year-olds, and I won a prize. But I wasn't there to receive it. So when they called my name, no one showed up. And so they said, well, you can always go back and get it. But as you can see in my face, I wasn't going to go back and get it. There was no way. No way at all. But I didn't know that I won. There were so many people around me, but I guess they were either younger or older than my age group. But, oh, I ended up winning. So I thought that was interesting. But when it comes to winning, it's really simple to think about, right, when you're playing a game. It's either you win or you lose. There's an objective you need to do. And whatever it is, if you do it the best, you win. If it's golf, it's how quick you can get the ball, whatever you call it, into the hole with the least amount of shots. It's for basketball, it's whoever scores the most points. Football playoffs are right now. It's whoever beats the Packers. I mean, can I be honest? Anyway, sorry, that was my own. I'm a little salty right now. But winning, when we think about it, is really simple when it comes to sports, when it comes to simple competitive things. But we never think about when it comes to winning, when it comes to our own personal lives. Like, it's really hard to figure out how are you winning with your family? How are you winning with your relationships with your mom and dad, with your son and daughter? What does winning mean for that? What does winning mean when it comes to friends? Is it how many friends you have? Is it the quality of friendship you have? What does that look like? And last but not least, what does it look like when it comes to winning by your faith with God? That one's really touchy. We don't really understand, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, is we don't really know what it looks like when it talks about winning with God. Because you see, a lot of us, we always are going and we're trying our best to either please God or we're trying our best to do everything right in the church, but we begin to realize as we try to draw closer to God and as we try to be more involved in the church that there is no actual finish line. There's no actual I've made it point. There's no actual, all right, I'm on the top. I'm good. I'm going to retire now. I'm no longer, you know, going to go to the church. I'm set for life. I'm going to heaven. Peace out. No, there's no finish line. Or let's say you are trying your absolute best. You're trying to please God. You're trying to live this holy life. You're trying to become more aware of your spirituality and your emotional health and all of this, but you just get exhausted because you're working all the time. You're letting God search deep into your heart, unveil hard things about our own life. You're working in ministry, and you are just wore out. Or let's just say by that time, once you get exhausted, by the time you stop, or by the time you see that there's no finish line, you just begin to stop trying. Yeah, I'll still go to church. Yeah, I'll still worship. And yeah, but I'm only going to go this far. Like, I know this is my limit. This is where I need to go with God. This is my cutoff point. This is where I say to myself, I'm good. But when we all get to that point and we all get to that limit that we all kind of set ourselves in our head, what we're doing is we're missing what God is saying when he says to chase him entirely. We're chasing him to our own finish line in our heads. Does that make sense? So I'm going to go ahead and can we put the first verse up, Sarah? I'm going to go ahead and address what Jesus thought about it. And how I'm going to do that is the story with Mary and Martha. So in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and the first part of 40, it says this. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Now, I begin to realize that I am a lot like Martha in this situation. It's funny, when my girlfriend Delaney first started coming here and when she first started seeing, you know, what this church is about, right afterwards, she's just like, you're always on the go. You're always doing something. Why don't you just sit down and just relax for a little bit? And I realized I'm a lot like Martha. There's just things when I get here that I just want to get done, things I want to get ready, and I begin to lose what church really is for me. And I get so caught up in all of the work that I forget to be like Mary, to just sit in the presence at some point. Can we go to the next verse? This is Martha, I believe. Yeah. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all of the work? Tell her to come and help me. So Martha was upset. Martha's trying to get this amazing dinner plan. This is a big deal for them. Jesus, the person that they've been following, is now at their house, and they're supposed to have dinner, and nothing's ready. So she's going to get everything ready. She's cleaning. And her sister is just sitting there hanging out with Jesus. Like, I had a roommate, I'm not going to lie. Not my last roommate, Alex. Alex is amazing. This is a different roommate. Back when I lived in Madison, there was a time where I just ended up doing all of the cleaning. And I wasn't brave enough to say anything about it. And so I was just like in bitterness towards him. Like, man, why doesn't he clean the bathroom for once? Or, man, you know, of course, like the dishes aren't done, you know. And then we get yelled at. And so I just got tired of getting yelled at. And so I just did everything. But that was unhealthy for me. I just started doing things because I was afraid to confront the person. And I just started doing it myself. And there was a lot of unsettledness in me and stuff that I had to work through. Just because there is a need and there is a part of the body of the church that needs to be covered doesn't mean that's our necessary place to go. Yes, it's good to be there and it's good to help out. But if you're not going to do it with the right heart, and if you're going to be bitter and angry towards other people about it, then you don't have the right heart going into that ministry. You don't have the right heart doing that serving. Because when we serve God and when we are serving in the church, it is out of a loving heart and understanding, you know, this is for God's kingdom, not out of bitterness towards others. Whether how small or innocent it may seem, if there is bitterness in your heart, that needs to be checked when you are entering into ministry. Because when you are doing ministry, you are being a light to the world. You are being a representative of Jesus. One of the coolest things that Reggie Joyner, the guy who is the founder and creator of this curriculum, this amazing program, that he says is that you as a parent, you as a teacher, you as a member of the church are the closest representation of God anyone else is going to experience. Each of you are the closest representation to Jesus and who he is to those around you that some people may ever experience. People that don't go to church, people that don't really know about God, who are around you, you are the influence that could change their lives. You are the one that makes the difference, and that is a weight that we all carry. And I don't think we all necessarily think about that sometimes when we're in ministry, when we're out in our jobs, when we're out in our community, that we are the closest representation of what Jesus is in people's lives. And so I really went off track here, so I'm going to try to bring us back. Martha, let's go ahead and go to the next verse. So this is Jesus' response to Martha. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." And what that was that it was just being with Jesus. It's not all of the work. It's not preparing the dinner. It's not being in all of these ministries. It's not trying to be perfect. It's not trying to chase all these things just to make ourselves feel better. It's just sitting with Jesus. Sometimes, like I said before this, I felt like when I was getting this ready, when I was reading this Bible story, I felt like Martha. Like, I'm the person where, and it's been my whole life, I've been the person that has tried to get everything ready, tried to be the one to help if there's a computer issue, help if there's a technical issue, help if there's a problem in the children's church, youth program, whatever it was. That's my heart. I have a serving heart, and I want to help out however it's needed. I don't care where. I just want to help. And it was super funny. So Christmas Eve service. We didn't have one here, but I had one back at my home church in Clinton, Iowa. And right before that, I was at a family gathering for just a Christmas gathering. And I was bragging to those people, to my family, saying, man, this is the first church service in years that I am not, like, working in, that I am not, since middle school, this is the first church service that I don't have a role in doing anything. I have no responsibilities. Not even 2 minutes in that church building did I hear, "Hey, AJ, we need your help with something real quick." I only had one conversation with someone, and I was asked to help out with a technical issue right off the bat. And I was just like, oh, the irony of this. I can never go back to a church and not do anything again, I swear. But I was okay with it. Like, I love serving, and I love being, you know, I love being able to help out however I can. I just thought the irony of it was this was my first church service, to not do anything, 2 minutes into it, and I'm doing something. And yeah, that was great. But to kind of go back, to kind of go into that mindset, back when I was in my first, going back to when I was in ELN, the Emerging Leaders Network in Madison, Wisconsin, the internship. For those of you that are my high school students and middle school students, this may shock you, but I was actually a really good kid when I was in Madison. I didn't get in a lot. I got in some trouble, but not a lot compared to everyone else. I was really good at getting my homework done. I was really good at working in ministry and serving, to where I was like jokingly by my intern directors always called me the golden child during the first year, because I always tried to do everything the best that I could, and I was doing it really well. But what happened with that, and what happened when I started getting that pride because people have these expectations of me and I'm doing things really well, was that I started doing more than what I should have. I started enabling other people to not do what they should be doing, and I ended up putting a lot of stress on myself, because instead of confronting people and instead of trusting others, I did everything by myself. And what happened was, during my second year of ELN, I would end up having to pull off an all-nighter once a week, just trying to get my homework done and trying to get enough hours at Chick-fil-A so that I would have enough money for gas and things that I want to spend my money on. And so, but I pretended everything was okay. By Tuesday, so I would work on Monday till about midnight, and then from midnight till 6:15 in the morning, when I have to run 2 miles, I would do all my homework during that time. And then I would run my 2 miles, I would go to the office, I would work from 8 to 5, and then from 6 to 10 o'clock, I had class. And so I didn't get to go to bed until about 10:30 later that night. And it was hilarious because my intern director, the one that was on the screen earlier, Miss Susie Jennin, Pastor Susie Jennin, she knew right away what was going on. She was just picking at me all the time, like, did you have another all-nighter again? And I'm like, no. And then 2 minutes later, I'm asleep on the couch. Like, and she's like, mm-hmm. And then so what she did is she always gave me, whenever we get in trouble, whenever we do something we're not supposed to, we had this thing called chicken duty. She had chickens in her backyard. And what it was is we had to clean the chicken coop early in the morning at 5 in the morning. So after pulling an all-nighter, after doing my 2 miles, having a whole day of work and then having class at night, the very next day, instead of sleeping, she had me get up at 5 in the morning so that I can clean her chicken coop to try to get me to stop doing everything perfect. And I didn't recognize that right away. And what I realized is during that second year, it was okay to fail. It was okay to mess up. It was okay to not be perfect. And I feel like that is a lot of things that we say, and that is a lot of things that we pretend that it's all right, but yet we still try to strive for some sort of perfection. We still strive to be that golden child in some way, shape, or form in our own lives, where whether it's through social media, through our friend groups, through the people that we talk to, we try to hide all of the stuff that's going in our lives to make ourselves seem some sort of perfect, or in our own eyes, some sort of perfect. And it's an ongoing struggle, because even then, after that second year of, like, I'm going to be honest, like, of just failing and just trying to be okay with failing at some things, that pride started coming back into my life, to the point where when I was in Clinton, I just had an immediate breakdown. I stepped away from my children's ministry. I stepped away from of being on stage, of just being in front of everyone, and I just took the back seat behind everything because I just couldn't handle it anymore. And it was the most broken I have ever been, because, like, you guys see it when I'm here. I love, you know, being around, you know, the Sunday school kids, the youth program. I love investing in them. I love hanging out with them, being a kid with them, teaching them, and just, you know, watching them grow. So for me to step down and to step away from that for half a year was the absolute worst thing for me, because I felt like I lost all of my kids. I felt like I lost all my calling. I thought I lost everything. But it was at that point when I lost everything that I experienced God the most. It was the point where then I had no other option except to trust in God and to just be in his presence. And it was hard, It was humiliating. It was emotionally unstable for me because there would be days I'd be on really big highs and happy about my situation. And other days, I would just be completely broken down and ashamed of what I've done and what I was doing and how, like, I would always say, like, why did this happen to me? Why did I do this? Why did I mess up this bad? And there was this really, really good song at the time that really helped me just remind myself of God's promises and just being in God's presence. And it's called "That I Am No Victim." And what it is just reassurance saying that, yes, this bad thing happened to you. Yes, you may be going through a lot, but God still has a plan for you. God still has a purpose for you, and you are not done doing the Lord's work. And so as we continue during this new year, as we have these New Year's resolutions, as we think about all of the busyness that we have coming up, just remember that it's not based on your achievements. It's not based on whether you pass or fail or win at certain things in life. It's about just being with God, because at the end of the day, he's the one with the plan. He's the one that's going to work everything out, and he's the one that already has everything in store for you. The only thing he asks you, like he just did to Mary and Martha in this story, was Mary understood what needed to be done. It wasn't all of the meal. It wasn't cleaning the house. It was just sitting with Jesus, and that's what he's asking for us to do today. And so with that being said, that's all I have. And I'm just going to go ahead and pray us out. And the sign-up forms, or the sign-up for Sunday school, if you would like to still sign up or ask more questions, Pastor Rick has them in the back. I would love to talk to you about them. Sunday for winter camp, tomorrow is the deadline. We have a link on Facebook. We have a link on our Instagram page on how to find or how to sign up online. I'll have my computer ready out there as well if you want to sign up now. Even if you don't think, you know, you're not completely sure, but you're like on the fence about it, still sign up, because if you sign up now, it'll be a lot cheaper when you do decide that you're going to go. And let's say you decide you don't go, then we can just take your name off. Simple as that. So if you're on the fence about it, just please just go ahead and sign up. So with all that being said, I'll go ahead and pray us out. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for just what you're doing in each and every one of us in this church, in the mission that you have called us to do here in Tipton, Iowa. God, I just pray that during this season that we just sit and learn to be with you, to not focus on our achievements, to not focus on what needs to be done, Lord, but to just trust in you, trust in the process that you have placed before us, trust in the mission that you have called us to do, Lord. God, I just thank you for everything you are stirring up in this church, in our youth program, in our children's program. God, I believe that you have amazing things in store for every single child and every single person that we influence. God, I believe that you have an amazing path for each and every one of us to take during this season. So God, I just pray that as we sit here in your presence, as we sit in your presence during the season, Lord, that you just reassure in us your love. You reassure in us that you have a plan and that you have a purpose, and that no matter what happens in our lives, Lord, that we can still lean on you, that we can still trust in you, that we still believe in your plan, whether how bad things get, whether how good things get, that there is a plan and a purpose you have set in store for us, and that none of us are finished. There is no finish line. There is no way of determining to win at being a Christian or being a follower of Christ. There is just being with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.